This is the Creative Sports Podcast. My name is Justin Peterson, and joining me are Garrett Wright.
That's something that I had not thought of about this kind of COVID production.
And Brock Rom.
So Madison, on your phone or computer, we need you to go to time.is.
This is episode 14, and we have Madison Williams joining us from inside the football office at Clemson. With ACC football back in session, we dive into the new normal of producing content during COVID, how NIL will impact athletics, and what it means to stay on brand at Clemson.
We're going to clap right on the change. I don't know how that sounded to you guys, but that sounded pretty good.
It's one of our better ones in a while. I feel like we say that every time, but like...
You mean it?
I actually mean it. Most of the time, I'm just full of crap. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show. My name is Garrett Wright. I want to start out with a big thank you to APM Music for donating the tracks we use on this podcast. Also, a reminder that this podcast is an extension of the sports creative community on Slack. So if you're hearing this and not a member of that community yet, you should head over to sportscreativeslack.com and sign up for free.
All right. Excited to be joined by Madison Williams, creative media coordinator for Clemson football. Madison, thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here. Glad to talk to you guys today.
So why don't you just give us a little background? We kind of start this way with all of our guests about your career and how you got into the position you did and kind of the steps you took.
Since I was a little kid, I've always been super interested in capturing moments. When I was really little, there are shots of me on home videos reaching for the camera, asking to film. And it got pretty annoying at a certain point because it was almost every single time that I would say, can I film? It's my turn. Let me see. And it's kind of funny looking back now because it's something I'm really lucky to have as a passion that started really young. It's not something I ever thought might turn into a career. It just from a young age, I always loved being behind the camera. And then in high school, I had some friends that wanted to pursue sports in college. And so I was able to help them with some highlight tapes. I really started with photography, but kind of got into videography a little bit more with them and did some year-long projects for our hockey and football teams. And that was an interesting beginning. I was on iMovie recording with a little handy cam, Sony handy cam, going to every game. The length of the videos reached 30 to 40 minutes at the end of the year. And now I'm in a completely different world making videos that 30 seconds or long videos. So then I decided to come to Clemson in 2014. I graduated from Triton High School in Massachusetts. Clemson was a perfect fit because I could do a major in graphic communications, which was in the business school, but also get that artistic background and that outlet without going to art school. And the business background really helped launch me into my connection with Clemson Athletics, because we actually had a couple Clemson Athletics videographers and like different designers and motion designers come in and be adjunct professors. So I had a course with Jeff Callen, who at the time was had been at Clemson for a while, but was doing mainly graphic design. Now he's actually our director of communications here at Clemson, but he was the one that gave me a shot with athletics. He brought me in and let me do an internship. So I had senior year at Clemson was the first time I really was able to get my feet wet with athletics. And I started off as an intern where I worked with the volleyball team. I worked with women's basketball team. And what was really cool then was that you kind of had a certain sport that you were mainly assigned to and got to really build those relationships with the team, the coaches, the staff, and get an idea for what an athletic program is built on and how to tell their story, not just the athletes or what you would see on TV, but all the behind the scenes. So that was such an awesome experience. Was able to take a team that barely had a presence on social, grew their platform by crazy amount with the help of many others, including a good friend of mine, Alex Mueller. He's now at Chicago Fire and he's awesome. You should check him out too and see if you guys want to talk to him. He's doing a great job there, but was able to take that, move into more of a recruiting role with football the following year as an intern, where I was the in-house person for football and used the stuff I had learned with volleyball and women's basketball and apply it to football. And football is a different beast, but the same principles apply. We're trying to reach at, recruits. And as long as we're capturing authentic and telling authentic stories, then recruits want to hear and see that. So now, after 1 year of being an intern, last year I was hired for the first year of my full-time position with Clemson, and it was just kind of taking that internship and making it a little bit more official. So now I'm the liaison between Creative Solutions, which is all of athletics, creative in-house agency, and the football program. And so I'm the Clemson football creative media coordinator, and this is my second year, second season, full-time. It's been awesome. It's honestly a really cool experience because I'm also able to freelance, and my job is actually, it's full-time, but it's in a contract role in which I'm able to do work on the side, whether it's for Coach Sweeney and his wife's All In Foundation, which has been really cool to work on projects for them, or whether it's working with Fresh Tape Media that's based in Denver, working with NBA, NFL, Twitter Sports. So looking back, coming to Clemson in 2014, could have never imagined the perfect timing that it was for the field I was about to jump into. Not only having a winning football program, but the culture that Coach Sweeney promotes here, and the joy he has in letting people find their passion and grow in it. It's just been like the perfect opportunity. So that's where I'm at now. And it's awesome to have met Justin along the way and get to talk to you guys today. So I'm excited.
Yeah, we're all really excited you're here. And, you know, I'm just curious when you kind of describe the transition through your roles through the years, but your day-to-day kind of in the role you're in now, what kind of stuff are you creating? How are you going about, you know, creating and gathering that inspiration for the role you're currently in?
The role I'm currently in originated a little bit more in covering every minute of everything going on and finding the bits and pieces that make a good story. A lot of it was run and gun, capture as you go, capture those moments, whether it's photography or video. I do an equal amount of both, I'd say, mostly for social, but also for some internal pieces, some recruiting pieces that go straight to recruits, but I would say like 70% for social. So that being said, it has transitioned over the last year and year and a half to be a little bit more planning out and coming up with more programming. So Creative Solutions, like I said before, is the in-house athletics agency that does social for all sports. And over the last year and a half, we've kind of gotten into a good groove of where we're able to spend more time kind of planning and finding a way to collaborate on future projects that give us a little bit more time to let some students get in here and shoot some practices and do the day-to-day content, which I'm still a big part of, but let them do more of that and also have a little bit more future time to like breathe and think about the future. Like, what are we going to do a month from now versus, okay, today we're doing this, tomorrow we're doing this, just like getting in that groove. So I would say 70% of my work is social, and I'd say 20% of the job is understanding the people that are in this building. And a lot of it has come down to communication and understanding what's going on and knowing what the guys and the coaches want and what recruiting wants to push out. So that continues to grow, I think, and a little bit more of the actual creation is time-wise maybe a little smaller. We have a fun project we were just working on that's going to be coming out on Friday, and being able to take the time to do a larger form project like that has been really cool. So I'm looking forward to doing more feature projects like that going forward.
You spoke about you do an equal amount of photo versus video. How does one of those, for some of our younger listeners, how does your approach differ to each of them? And then where are the similarities when you're framing for video versus framing for photo? What crosses over, what doesn't?
There's a lot of crossover. I think early on having a photo background made me a better videographer because the framing, like you mentioned, is pretty similar. You can go from the rule of thirds, but you also can just from a framing perspective, figure out ways to let someone's emotion tell a story based on the framing. Like if you're shooting somebody in a full body shot from 20 yards away, you've got a completely different storyline, whether it's a photo or a video, than if you're right up in their grill. So that's one thing that does cross over. And I try really hard to get a balance of both, like establish with photos, even like as a photojournalist series, maybe. establish the scene so people know what's going on, but then also get that stuff that like you might not see from a broadcast angle, some of that emotion that you get uptight on. So that's a similarity and something that I think photography helps influence as a videographer is just putting more frames back to back to back. And there's just a little bit more technical attention to detail to make sure that you're capturing it the right way. But there's a lot of similarities. And then the main difference I'd say is like a picture's worth 1,000 words, and you really need to nail, even if you're putting out one single image, nail that image and be really proud of the story that image is telling. Because with video, you actually have a little more leeway to go to the next shot and like continue to tell that story. But with a photo, you got to kind of make sure that that one image tells more of a story. It's not out of context, or a series of photos for that matter. But with video, I think the biggest challenge for me has been finding ways to not create music videos, let the audio, I mean, you guys are audio pros. So like letting the audio be part of the storytelling, not just getting rid of it and putting some hype music over it, because like that's easy and people get excited about those, but finding a way to let the audio also tell the story. So adding that element is honestly the most important thing between a photo and a video, I think, because it's a series of photos ultimately is a video, but letting the audio add, it adds so much. So finding ways to capture that nat audio and the dialogue, I think is what is the massive difference.
So you touched on what you do day to day now, and you said you got into sports there when you were a senior. So can you talk about your early years when you were at Clemson and the class, some of the classes that you took, or what you've practiced with shooting photos on your own or through those classes that helped you help prepare you for where you are now?
Yeah. I think I bought my first camera junior year of high school, and it was a Canon Rebel T2i. And I began on that camera and really maximized what I could do with that camera. And that's kind of advice I give people that come and ask like, what camera do you shoot on? Well, it depends on where you're at. You can take just as great of an image on a Canon Rebel T2i if you maximize its potential. It's going to be different, but it's not the camera. It's ultimately the framing and the photographer's vision. So starting with that, just really like bringing it everywhere with me, starting even in college, like bringing my camera out to tailgates, bringing it to places where I maybe didn't have the opportunity to be standing on the sidelines shooting action, but it didn't matter the subject. I was still trying to master like the process and the capturing perspective. And that's one thing like I would recommend to people is no subject is too little or too boring. Like there's so many opportunities to capture things, even if you're not necessarily at a giant school where you want to shoot the football games and you're a freshman, you're not involved yet. Like get out there and shoot your friend skateboarding. And that's something I tried to do a lot early on, and then really got in touch with other photographers and videographers and shadowed a lot of people. I, in high school, took lessons and kind of was the assistant for a photographer, Kelly Chadwick, in Amesbury, Massachusetts, and going along with her on shoots and understanding her bedside manner, her involvement with the client, how she made people feel comfortable in front of the camera. I may not have been a good photographer at the time, but I could learn from her doing that. So that was huge. Letting her spend the time to also inform me what she was doing while also doing her job. Like I have so much, I'm just so thankful for the time she spent with me. And then also at Clemson, sophomore year, I started working for creative services for the university. So wasn't with athletics, but it was with the university. So I was again shadowing a photographer, a couple photographers mainly, and covering events across campus, whether it was speakers or whether it was homecoming events or things that weren't the game or the sport, but what made Clemson Clemson outside of athletics. So shadowing was the main thing, because without people that poured into me, I would have been really starting at ground zero when I started a job, and I wouldn't have gotten that job if I hadn't had the people that invested in me earlier. So I think that's the biggest thing you can do, and something like I'm really passionate about and want to do as soon as COVID passes and we're able to have that more one-on-one interaction. Like I feel really passionate about mentorship, because I wouldn't be where I am without people pouring into me. So it's not about the gear, and it's not about the subject matter you have the opportunity to shoot. That'll come. for sure. The harder you work and the more experience you have, that'll come. But I think being able to shadow and be around other creators and photographers and videographers and see how they interact with the client, first of all, because that's the most important thing. A lot of people can be a good photographer or a good videographer, but how do you interact with people around you and how do you make them feel? That's the main thing I learned from those people. And also then just the little tricks of the trade.
You touched on COVID a little bit there. Now that ACC is playing football and you're in the office, what changes with how you carry out your work shooting? You know, you can be a little ways away. Maybe you're shooting on a more telephoto. How has your job changed?
We're really lucky that Clemson's a place that can afford and has the ability to sanitize, keep the guys safe, do all the things that we can do to minimize that difference between last year and this year. During quarantine, clearly, like, major difference, trying to come up with storylines based on content already captured, footage already captured. How do you repackage that and repurpose it? And that's something that was a major challenge for me, because during the season or when I'm around the guys, I have the ability, I think I need one more shot to make that more understandable. Well, I didn't have that ability to do that during quarantine. So quarantine was a massive difference, and finding ways to take old stories and repackage them. And for social, that's huge, because we may have had a video that we sent to recruits, or it was like a 20-minute feature, but there were little bits of gold in there that we hadn't used on social anywhere. It's like going through, skimming through, finding ways to repurpose and repackage. And another huge thing was file, like the way we save files and projects. And a main difference I'm trying to focus on a lot more going forward is the organization, because you never know. We might not be able to get into the office one day, and I want to have every project backed up with footage. And if I weren't able to complete a project, I want the next person to be able to pick it up and understand exactly where I was going with it. So that's been like on the forefront of my mind more than ever, just knowing that like we took a lot for granted when you just could come in the office every day and collaborate with people very easily. Now you can't sit down at the desk next to them and explain how you, I'm sorry, I didn't organize my footage in that folder. It's over here. Like, no, there's no time for that. So first of all, I've gotten a lot better at organization during this time. But from a content capturing, now that we are going to be playing, keeping that bubble tight, making sure that, first of all, we're not doing anything when we're outside of it that's going to put anybody in danger. And so when you're here, really maximizing the time. We don't have the luxury of I might be able to go capture that tomorrow, because you just don't know. So trying to maximize the time you have, and I shoot a lot on telephoto. I got my 120 to 300 Sigma lens last year, and that thing has been so perfect when we're outside and have the ability to be really on the outskirts, but just capture everything going on. That's been a huge benefit to have. But also, we're not able to really capture the run and gun stuff where the guys are telling us what's happening. So that made the job easy when the guys could kind of carry that story for you. And okay, they told us what's happening, let's put some B-roll over that. Now it's like, all right, we're telling that story for them. We don't have as much of that NAT audio like I talked about earlier, but how do we still tell a story that's interesting and different? So I think that's been a huge thing, learning to adjust to not having them carrying the storyline for us. And stills haven't changed a ton. We're able to still capture pretty similar, but you know, the guys are wearing masks when they put their helmets up. So getting those portraits and those emotions is a lot harder. It's all in it, their eyes regardless, but having a mask on makes it a little bit more difficult to see their emotions. So it's been a challenge, but I'm really grateful that we're at a place where a lot of the differences have been minimized, because we're able to keep the guys safe and protected. And major difference is not being able to capture their audio as much, but we're working through it.
That's something that I had not thought of about this kind of COVID production time is with masks and with, you know, being further away, trying to capture the emotion. You know, it's just such a different feel. How, you know, does it change how you approach it? I mean, do you think about that when you're preparing for, you know, what you're going to capture or where you're going to shoot, that, okay, that I may not be able to capture emotion on faces. How else can I show, you know, emotion? How else can I show personality? How else can I show story?
Yeah, I think we've leaned a lot more into stuff that's off the field. And I think Clemson's always done that. It's not all about like our whole feed is not practice photos. It's a lot more of first day of class, like following them along, going to their first day of class. These are student athletes, first of all. But we've leaned on that a little heavier now because, like you said, it's harder to capture that emotion. And ultimately, what we want to do from Clemson FB is tell people what it's like to be a Clemson Tiger. And so there is some truth in wanting to show what it's really like. Like, we're not trying to hide that everyone's in their mask. Like, we're not trying to just show pictures where you can't see the mask. Like, we're posting that because that's what's going on here. But also trying to focus on like the guys getting their books for their first day of class and talking about how excited they are to start school, that kind of stuff. I think we've just shifted the amount of capture of certain activities versus others. Not to say practice isn't important. I mean, people are excited to watch football and they're ready for it, but definitely isn't all about that. And even especially during COVID, it's made us realize like we need to tell the story of what it's like to be a Clemson Tiger here. And it's a lot more than just what's going on the practice field. So I think that's been a big, big change, but something that we're focused on. And then lens choice has been a lot different. I used to really love running out to practice with a 35 and just getting in between the guys. Their sweat would drop all over me, but I'd get right there and get those shots. And those were some of my favorite ones. And now a lot of it is telephoto just so that I'm not right up next to them. But that's been the main change of thought before I run out to practices. I've been carrying much heavier cameras lately.
When I think of Clemson athletics and specifically football and their social platforms, I think about, you know, a brand that's not afraid to take risks, try new things, ideate on things. Can you kind of go through what the process and what the ideation process is like behind the scenes when making content for Clemson Football Social?
Yeah. So like I was saying, like there's a lot of times where it's run and gun and you're capturing what's going on. But over the last 2 years, and something that I wasn't necessarily as much of a part of when I was a student, is the like ideation and the brainstorming sessions. And that's something that I love about Clemson and love the teamwork, because there's nothing like sitting around a table. You think it's going to be an hour meeting and then it's 3 hours because so many ideas were brought up and so many people have input that maybe aren't even like the content creators, but recruiting, or a coach walks in the door and has an idea. Okay, how do we execute this? And that's one of the really cool things, is it's not just like an agency coming in, meeting with the client, figuring out what they want. It's already embedded in it. So that brainstorming process, and the reason we're able to take risks, is that buy-in from the coaches, is that trust. And ultimately, some of the best ideas we've had aren't coming from us. We're executing them, but some of the best ideas have come from, like I said, like some of the people within the recruiting department, some of the coaches. Heck, Coach Sweeney comes up with ideas and it's like, all right, how are we going to make his vision come to life? Like, that's why I think Clemson's special and why some of our things can be riskier and edgier, is the ability to execute on things that we're given permission to do or given the ideas to do. And then from a brainstorming perspective, we have a lot of time. Right now, COVID has made it difficult and we do it over Zoom, but a lot of brainstorming time dedicated to what's next and how do we hit home runs, not just get on base every day. That's one of Jonathan Gant's sayings, the director of Creative Solutions. He talks about it all the time. Clemson used to be the only ones getting on base in the beginning. Clemson was one of the first, Ohio State and a couple other places. Just getting on base was a big deal. But now every school is getting on base, because if you're not, you're behind. And how do we go get on base consistently, have the consistent coverage we're used to, but then hit home runs that are like, how do they have the time to do that while they've been doing X, Y, and Z? So those are the things that we spend a lot of time on and a lot of brainstorming sessions, which, like I said, you think it's going to be an hour. And then 3 hours later, you're like, okay, now we have a lot. Let's divvy it up and figure out how we're going to do it. So a lot of those in-person sessions in the past, and now a lot have been on Zoom, but like I said, we're lucky that we're at a place where ideas can come from anyone in the building, 200 people in here, and there's a line of communication that allows us to execute people's ideas that see things that we don't see.
I heard you say earlier that, you know, you kind of got your start working with volleyball and women's basketball, and, you know, I think there's kind of this, you know, maybe older school mentality where, you know, females get put on female sports and it's I mean, outdated, and it's fantastic you've made that leap to football. And I see that more in the industry, you know, women being able to not being able to, that women are given opportunities with, you know, men's sports and football and the big revenue producers. And, you know, what kind of differences have you seen in kind of making that leap from the volleyball and the women's basketball to football? And, you know, what is your view kind of women in the industry that are starting to get that opportunity, you know, with football teams and with the big revenue generating sports?
First of all, anybody that's doing that and making that jump, good for them. And I'm excited that it's more common and it's not as like, what is she doing here mentality that it used to be. I've just been super, super lucky that my experience, sometimes I forget that it's not normal for women to be around a football program. And it is becoming more normal across the country. But for me, like, you bringing that up right now is one of the first times I've honestly thought about that in such a long time, because it doesn't feel like that at all, which is incredible. It says a lot about Clemson, because I know a lot of people in the industry at other places that's not how they feel. But I have the ability on Mondays to join staff meeting, present what we've done on social, what we're going to be doing on social. And the fact that I'm a almost 25-year-old girl in staff meetings says a lot, and it's not looked at weird. Nobody looks around and is like, what is she doing here? And it's so funny you bringing that up, because like I said, I really haven't even thought about it like that in so long. Obviously, I know that it's not that like that everywhere, but I don't even think that it was intentional when I first joined to be working volleyball and women's basketball necessarily due to being a female. I think it helped me there in the beginning, because I was able to like gain some rapport with the girls, and still having that line, like, I'm an employee, you're the girls on the team, even though as a student trying to differentiate. But it did help early on, because there was a level of comfort for them, for me just being around. It was kind of just joined the group and was able to just be a fly on the wall almost. And that's kind of what I've tried to translate my job there to being with football, is to be that fly on the wall, because I don't treat it any differently than I did with those girls. Same with the guys. Like, I want to be a fly on the wall, capturing what I can capture, but also being someone that when we're not on the football field, like, you can come to me with ideas and I'm excited to hear them. So being, the communication is a huge part of it, and having that open line of communication with every single person in the building. Yeah, you talk to some more than others, and you have better relationships with some more than others. But like, it says a lot that I'm able to go up to Coach Sweeney and say, hey, I have an idea. How about we do this? And there's never even a second thought at why is she coming to me with this idea? So that part has been super awesome. And then just for other women, like, I think not making it about the fact that you're a woman is really important. And that's why I'm really thankful I don't have to even think about it here. So it is different in other places, but you know, you're there for your job. You're hired because you're good at what you do. And as long as you remember that and keep that inside out mentality, and Coach Sweeney talks about that all the time, is if you let everything out here come in and start to affect you, and what everyone else is saying affect you and our team or you individually, then you're going to have a really hard time making it to the next day and not feeling the pressure of what everyone's saying. And I'm not acknowledging the fact that we've come a long way in the sports world for a lot of women. But for me, it's like, if I continue to think about how are people taking my behavior or what I'm saying because I'm a woman, then I'm never going to excel at what I'm doing. So the ability to just kind of, I work here because I was hired to do what I got to do, and I'm good at what I do, and that's why I'm here, has been really freeing. And not to be, like I said, I don't want to not acknowledge that other places aren't this way, because I know it can be a lot harder, but I'm really just lucky that it's not, and that I go through every day with the same respect that everybody else does, because I've earned that respect.
I'm curious about the psychology of working directly with a football team and coach, like you've mentioned Dabo a couple times. What have you gleaned from his speeches to the team that like impact you?
I mean, some of that inside out stuff I was just talking about was one of his messages to the team this week, and continual messaging. And he's really good about bringing things back up. and reinforcing them. So it makes it really easy for us as staff too. We're sitting around there at the end of practice, standing around the huddle. And when you hear that stuff, you'd be crazy if it didn't affect you and if it didn't make you think. And so, yeah, he's talking to the team and he's talking to the coaches, but he's also talking to the staff, and we are able to take what he's saying to those guys and use it in our own little field. I mean, I'm trying to think of another example, but the wisdom in the staff here has been the biggest benefit of my job. And it's because, yes, I'm getting better at what I do technically. And Justin, we've talked about this before. Like, I am in such an amazing position where I'm actually able to learn so much more than just the technical skills of my profession. Working in a team, working with people that are the best at what they do at their job, and being pushed by them every day is huge. And then also being able to hear the wisdom and the coaching that applies to life. It's their coaching life. I mean, it sounds cheesy and it sounds crazy, but that's why this place is special, is they're not just trying to focus on getting these guys into game ready shape and being able to make the tackles and make the plays. Like, they're really coaching life. And like, the benefits I get from this job that have nothing to do with creative anything outweigh any creative opportunity, which is crazy because that itself is huge. So I've learned a lot, and I learn a lot too from the guys. And it's something that during this time in the world we're in and the things going through this world, like the conversations I've been able to have with these guys on this team and the coaches too, but these guys are brilliant young men that are going to be leaders in this world. And it's so rewarding to watch it and be a part of it and help them amplify their voices through what I'm able to do. And we've gotten to a point where we're able to share more with them individually. So yes, it's about the team, but it's also about them individually and having them pursue their goals in life. And really interested to see kind of where NIL goes and where things happen, but we've able to really been able to pour into them individually and help them with their own personal branding, whether that's involved with our Pod Journey program, which is more the tools for life, community service, resume building, networking, or whether it is on the football field. And that is invaluable. And like, I love what I do and I love taking pictures every day, but even if they took my camera away, I still love being here.
As a creative team, obviously, NIL, name, image, likeness, you know, that's kind of the next big thing that's coming, and everyone in athletics knows it and it's kind of looming. But how have you as a department kind of prepared for that? You know, how are you starting to think about different ways that you can maximize that as a recruiting pitch for Clemson?
Absolutely. I think we'd be crazy not to. It's coming. We don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but for sure things are going to be changing between now and this time next year. And so one of our biggest projects, and Jonathan Gant headed this up because he has a great relationship with Open Doors. I don't know if y'all have heard of Open Doors. It's a great program. There's multiple types that do it, but Open Doors is great. And it's a great way for us to, whatever we capture, whether we use it for social or we use it for internal branding or we use it for print, if there's content of them, we're able to upload it, tag them in it, and they've got immediate access to it. And that has been huge. And one thing the team has done this year, different than the past, is they've always had a team enforced, like senior leadership enforced social media ban for the season. Because when social media first became a thing and Coach Sweeney was giving the guys the option and asking, what do y'all want to do about it? They were like, all right, we don't want it to be a distraction. We don't want people going off and saying certain things during the season that are going to get them in trouble. Let's just, during the season, we're not going to post. Well, the guys have understood what is coming, and NIL, the value of social for them is their following is huge. Their personal brand is important. People want to follow not only Clemson, but them and like their opinions, what they have to say and hear their voice. So they had a senior meeting and were able to kind of come to a conclusion that social is important. They have learned how to do it, how to be responsible, and they know what they're doing. And so they're still going to be able to post some this season. They're still minimizing it. It's not as much as in the off season, but they're using our resources that we're capturing of them already to help tell their story and build their brand as well. So that is like the main thing in preparation, is just continuing to feed them content and help give them the resources to understand what a value it is that they are getting. Because not everywhere has personalized content of each guy. So that's been a good push. And during fall camp, we were able to, I think there was like 10,000 pieces of content uploaded and almost 8,000 pieces downloaded. And they've been going crazy with it. So that's like probably the main thing we've been doing in preparation, because regardless of what decision is made about NIL, these guys should have access to their content and should be able to download it as soon as we're able to publish it. And there's a lot of stuff that doesn't get published and it's left on the cutting room floor. That's great for them. So they've been loving it.
Yeah, that definitely seems to be the trend. We were doing something similar at Notre Dame when I was there, which was basically, you know, putting the content in the student athletes' hands, you know, and allowing them to elevate and promote. But the name, image, likeness thing is, you know, there's still so many questions there, and a lot of people are trying to figure it out. But that does seem to be the kind of the way things are leaning, at least with schools like Clemson, of, you know, how are we enabling student athletes to build their brand individually, as opposed to focusing on the team's brand, which I think is fascinating.
Yeah. And it definitely is still honoring the Clemson brand too. And these guys are awesome ambassadors of Clemson. So still being able to maintain that, and you represent Clemson each and every day, but also they're not all the same. Nobody's the same. So how do you differentiate yourself while also being true to the brand and representing the school well? So they've been doing a great job at it, and it's fun for me. I get to see how excited they get about it, and it's rewarding. It's been a lot of fun to see them get excited about that. And of course they're excited because it's pictures of them, but it's also really exciting because they're even more invested in it now and understanding the value of it and knowing the outcome and knowing what's coming. There's even more attention and more inspiration for them. Some of them have come up and said, I really want to learn how to start editing photos. That is so fun to try to teach these guys how to edit photos. Some of them are interested in, they're interested a little bit more in like audio design and even some rapping, but they want to see how we do our sound design and videos. And that like educational piece of it has been fun too.
Yeah. Open Doors is based in Lincoln and started by the CEO is Blake Lawrence, who is a linebacker for Nebraska when the three of us were there. So shout out to them for all the hard work they've been doing.
Seriously.
When I owned my production company right out of college, their company before Open Doors, Heard That, was one of our first clients. So I'm always grateful to Blake for helping me pay my rent for a couple months.
That's awesome. Very nice. Cool.
So you mentioned photos a little bit there. Can we dig into your process and how much Lightroom has actually helped you both as a photo editor and maybe even video editor, understanding color and the different contrast and exposure and manipulating content to create for social?
Yeah, Lightroom is my favorite app, and Premiere may be real close because you technically could edit a photo in Premiere too. Lightroom has become like a daily staple, and the thing I love about it is it's very easy to over edit. It's very easy to create a look that you want to seem consistent, so you slap a filter on something, you over edit it, but it looks good on a feed. Great. But for our purposes, it's really nice to not over edit because you can't scale it back once it's been done. So we've got to a really good place where we have over athletics, including other sports, not just football, we've got a pretty good baseline. Now, everybody, depending on the event, obviously you can manipulate it however you need to bring out the whites, bring out the highlights, bring down the shadows, figure out the best contrast, the best image. But overall, we have a consistency, and that we've come a long way in because all of our photographers have access to a similar look. And that has been really helpful because the over editing has made it really difficult going back. Like Cleveland Ferrell gets drafted. Okay, let's go back and find pictures of him from freshman year and put him in a collage with pictures from this year. Well, if they're completely, completely different looks, it doesn't work as well. So trying to find a way to keep consistency and allow yourself to have a little fun with it and give an artistic touch, but also creating something that's longer lasting and more evergreen, because in the moment, something might be kind of trendy, but the second you kind of file export and it's there, you don't have the ability to get it back the same way. So that's been good. And then I enjoy Lightroom because, like you mentioned, colors, it does apply to video too. The most important part to me is skin tone and making sure that it's, that is how that person looks. And that is how they, that that's how their skin tone was when you took that photo. So the ability to really get in there, and when you use a preset, making sure that preset doesn't affect skin tone, doesn't wash anybody out, doesn't darken anybody too much to the point where the features aren't as obvious, and just really getting that skin tone authentic. That takes a long time in video. It does, but it's the most important thing we can do is make it look authentic. And that's why I say I don't like over editing, because I don't want it to not be realistic. And so using those color panels to kind of change the hue and make sure that it's a realistic of how they look, that's the most important thing. And then adding, like I said, a little bit of artistic touch. And one thing I love to do, and the first thing I do is when we're outside, is that grass has to be perfect. And I really am passionate about the grass being the perfect green, because you can make, it can be real clear if you oversaturated something, if the grass is not realistic, or if the grass is, doesn't exist because it's so pale. So getting that grass right is fun. And I'm a nerd, but I'm excited always making sure the grass is the right color green. But I like Lightroom. I think that it helps for collaboration. You can share presets. I think that's huge. And ultimately not over editing, because you can always do more to it later, but you can't take it away.
Do you shoot raw both for photos and video? And does that help in your editing process?
I used to, but the amount of photos I take in a day, if I were to shoot raw, like my computer, it would take 20 minutes to just import the images. So I've gotten to a point where unless it's a wedding, or unless it's a engagement shoot or something where I have the time built in and I'm going to spend some significant time editing, then no, I shoot JPEG large because of the time it takes to import. But with video, I shoot on the Canon 5D Mark IV with C-Log majority. And then on larger shoots, I'll shoot with the FS7 or the FS7 sometimes, but also the C300 a lot. And those have great like profiles. And when I'm shooting with those cameras, I definitely bring it down to as flat as can be, so I have the most ability in post to adjust, because you never know what you're going to want to do with it. But C-Log on Canon for me has been really great because it's flat, but it's pretty representative on your monitor what you can get from it. And then I've just like really kind of fine-tuned the process for the practice field at 6 p.m. doesn't change a whole lot. So I've gotten some presets that make that process a little quicker and easier. But when you do shoots that are out there and obviously have very different lighting or very different look than anything else you've done, it's the fun part for me. I like coloring.
So you had mentioned earlier that, you know, your position kind of allows you to do some freelance stuff on the side. What kind of projects are you working on? And, you know, what do you take away from that? You know, how do you apply, you know, freelance to Clemson and Clemson to freelance?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, because one of my pitches to Coach Sweeney early on with making this position happen was the ability to collaborate with people outside of Clemson. It is so huge. People have new ideas, new strengths that every single time I'm on a shoot with other people, I take something away from it. And I'm sure sometimes they're taking things away from me as well. But I think that one of the best parts about freelancing, and especially with Fresh Tape Media based in Denver, Jared Kleinstein is the CEO and Max Huggins is their creative director. And he used to be Clemson football. So that connection has kept us in touch. And obviously COVID has made things a lot different. I haven't been able to work with them since I think we shot the Pro Bowl together. I helped them. Came out for a shoot in Orlando for the Pro Bowl this year. And since then, I mean, a lot has changed in the world. So still been in touch and still keeping those relationships, but haven't been able to shoot with them in a while. So my more recent freelance stuff has been, whether it's portraits or family photos or, Trevor and Marissa got engaged a couple months ago. And that was one of my favorite ones because it was like so special and exciting, and to watch them and their relationship since he got here to be able to capture that moment for them. That was a lot of fun. So a lot more personal projects, not as much other things in the industry that I am usually doing, but some of the fun projects I've gotten to work on with Fresh Tape. It's not even, it's just crazy to see the amazing opportunities they've given me to work an NFL honors, work an NBA All-Star, work the SAG Awards, to be trusted with things like that. I think says a lot about the people that came before me, like Max and Andy Turner and the people that worked at Clemson that now do work with Fresh Tape that set a standard for how people behave. And I think one awesome part about working with them is nobody there is about the clout at all. They're there to do their job, and they happen to get to work really fun, awesome events because they're trustworthy people and they're not in it for the clout. And that's been the best part of freelance, because I know you can get caught up in who shot the most recent professional athlete and what did they do? And yeah, it's cool, but it's just much more about the people you're working with for me. So I'd way rather shoot a commercial with Fresh Tape for something nobody's ever heard of with that crew than go do something alone for a professional athlete with no collaboration and no other creatives. So that's been a lot of fun. And I've learned so much from them and can't thank them enough for the opportunities they've given me, when honestly I was ready because they tested me and I was ready, but I didn't feel like I was ready. So having that has been great. And like you said, it really does translate to Clemson. I bring things back from shoots that I'm like, dang, we need to get that. Whether it's a small piece of gear that makes your life 10 billion times easier, or whether it's a workflow. And I know Justin and I've talked about this a lot. Workflow is huge, and how you save your files and how you share your projects. And that I've been able to bring a lot back from Fresh Tape and the way they do things. So, it's been a lot of fun, and I'm lucky that I have the ability to do both, because it's a pretty unique position.
Talking about workflow, you know, Clemson, you talked about sharing, you know, some Lightroom presets and things like that, but Clemson, like, the brand is known. It is a very well-known, well-established brand. How do you, you know, work with not only your department, but other departments to make sure that you're staying on brand? And then how do you, I don't want to say break the rules, but, you know, stretch that so that you're still able to be creative and find new ways to work maybe within those guidelines and maybe give yourself a little room even within that?
I think for a while Clemson, because the brand wasn't worldwide yet, and I think now it's exploded over the last several years. I think there was a big effort to have somewhat of a sandbox that we played in, that we allowed everything to have a similar look. Nick Conklin was our director of video for a long time, and he now works for Better. And we miss him, but he is killing it, and he is had his lasting impact on all of the students that he's taught. But he made it very clear that branding is not just colors and fonts. Branding is how you tell a story, the frame rate of your video. We do not export in anything other than 24 frames per second. That is just not going to happen. Not going to happen. So Nick was really, really, really good about branding in ways that you wouldn't necessarily expect. So I studied graphic communications, and I learned about, okay, personal branding, the way you shape a logo, you don't stretch it, you don't change the colors, you stick to the same fonts. But he opened my eyes to the way that, like, Clemson's brand is strong. And I think that goes because it's not just about, like, the little assets that are the branding. It's about how the story's told, how the videos flow. And I think that comes with teaching, because it's not all every man for himself around here. It's so much of a group project, and it's, you get to a point where, okay, you might be the solo person working on a project, but everyone's eyes are on it at some point. And not in a, like, micromanaging way whatsoever, in a, you could do this, you could push it this way, or, hey, that orange, just when you go from shot A to shot B, that orange is just not exactly the same. And it's something that I missed a lot during quarantine, was working from home and having to send that over email. It's great, but that collaboration, like, is huge. And it's, so it's not every man for himself trying to keep the brand the way it is. It's really a group effort across other sports as well. So that has been huge, and that communication is really important. And then ways to kind of push the limits is, it might sound crazy, but trying not to follow other sports teams in a way that's, how can I top them? like that can get exhausting. Like, how do I create something newer and cooler? That's exhausting. And it's going to come more naturally than you forcing yourself to come up with a new idea that's going to be cooler than somebody else's. So for us, like Clemson does Clemson, and we play Clemson every week. I take so many of Coach Sweeney's sayings, but like we play Clemson every week. So we're not going to do anything different than that with social media. It all comes from that top leadership, and we apply it to every different part of the organization. So when it comes to social, yeah, you've got to be inspired and you got to watch and be aware of what people are doing, because it's fun and you want to, and it's exciting to see what other people are doing. And I have friends that work in so many places. I want to see what they're up to, but to not feel that crazy desire to just top people, I think it gives you the freedom to, when you have a few days to really execute a project, you can come up with what you want to do, not feel like you have to copy or top the last person. So that collaboration is huge for branding, because it's not every man for himself. And then having the ability to not have that pressure of you got to come up with the next best flashy thing. And that's something that honestly gives you more creative space in your head to come up with cooler, newer ideas without the pressure of having to do it.
I love the idea of ending on solving your own problems. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great ending, because I agree with you that it's, if you look at what other people are doing and try and outdo them, you don't know what resources they put into something. You also have your own skills that you're trying to develop. And if the more time you spend on worrying about things outside your control, which is probably another saying of Coach Sweeney's, mm-hmm. that you should, you're going to get in trouble. You're going to get yourself in trouble because you're worrying about things you can't control instead of focusing on things that you can. Mm-hmm. So thanks.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much for joining us. That was awesome.
I really enjoyed it.
We'd love to hear your thoughts, feedback, and suggestions. So pop on over to the Sports Creative Community on Slack and connect with us and your fellow creatives there. The quickest way to get us to stop this podcast is to not tell anyone about it. So leave us your 5-star rating and don't forget to subscribe so you're the first person to catch each new episode. And remember, the world needs your voice, so keep creating.